Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, and all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy. Welcome back, Messies. I am so excited for our guest today. Joining us is Dr. Erin Wilson. Dr. Erin Wilson is on a mission to transform the way leaders and teams thrive by integrating relationship intelligence, strategic rest, and intentional leadership. As the CEO of Design Ideal Consulting, she has spent over a decade designing transformative team-building exercises for organizations worldwide. A certified expert in core strengths, the five behaviors, and everything DISC, Erin equips teams with the tools to communicate, collaborate, and lead with impact. She's also the co-founder of the Strategic Rest Summit and co-author of Strategic Rest and Leadership, challenging the hustle mindset and helping leaders cultivate clarity, resilience, and creativity. And as the co-host of the Power Nap live show, she dives into the intersection of rest, leadership, and innovation. Erin, I'm so excited about our conversation today. Welcome to Becoming is Messy.
Thank you so much. I cannot wait to have this conversation either. I just absolutely adore your show and how important it is, especially as we talk about rest and emotional intelligence, to understand that messy is sometimes exactly what...
Oh my gosh, yes. You are speaking my language. Even just reading through your bio right there, there were so many words that are part of my kind of love language. I think we're going to have fun today.
For sure.
And really just help us set the stage for the discussion and just tell us a little bit about the season that you are in right now.
Oh my goodness, the season that I'm in right now, I'm in one where I am incredibly unapologetic for being bold.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Because most people don't see that as two things that can go hand in hand.
Right.
And for me, it 100% right now has been going hand in hand. I have decided, I've been really intentional about being bold, especially with being a full-time entrepreneur, if that makes sense, and
yes,
with so many other things in my life. But I have been incredibly intentional about being bold, but not having to be brave in order to be bold.
Yes,
yeah, that's where I
am. I love it. Now we're going to take a step back a little bit. Every becoming story has its own messy path. Walk us through a few of the twists and turns that have brought you to this bold moment.
Absolutely. One of the first things that I realized and really learned the hard way and don't want other people to have to learn it the hard way is that burnout doesn't announce itself. It doesn't go knock, I'm about to happen to you. It just quietly sneaks up. It steals your brilliance and then you don't even recognize yourself. And so for me, that's exactly what it was. I woke up in a hospital bed not recognizing myself after my first stress-induced seizure, and I woke up going, something has to change.
Yep.
I was at the point where I was doing all the things leaders should do, right? Leading my team, everything right on paper. Everybody was patting me on the back. I was continuously moving up the corporate or the ladder, if that makes sense, the leadership ladder where I was. But I started to feel really disconnected from myself and also my team. And I started to see that something had to change, right? I was subscribing completely to hustle culture. And when I got out of that hospital bed and told my husband, why don't you make sure I have good clothes? My hair looks crazy. Why would you let these people see me like this? I knew that things for me had to change, that just chasing titles couldn't be what I was living for. And that's what made me write Strategic Rest and Leadership and brought me. That's one of those big twists.
Just hearing your story, I resonate so strongly with that. My first kind of big burnout moment that flattened me too felt like it came out of nowhere. But then it's so funny. I feel like when you described how there were these little moments of things that just weren't right. Mm-hmm. Now that you've gone through that kind of wave of something big flattening you and bring you actually to the hospital, yeah. I'm just curious, do you recognize those signs earlier, those baby signs, and what does that look like?
Absolutely, right? So for me, I 100% recognize when I start to be really controlling over things that are not in my power, when I start to like hyper focus on things, that for me is, oh, well, let me take a step. Let me practice the framework that, of course, myself and Dr. Kelly Dixon created in our book, Strategic Rest in Leadership. I start to really look at the NAP framework, which is what we created. So I start to go, hey, am I feeling nurture? What's like hitting on my energy right now? I start to go, am I asking whether or not this is what I need to do? Or is this something that I can put to the side? Once I feel like I'm not prioritizing the things that should be most important for me, that's all of those things provide kind of key blinking red lights,
right?
That the engine light is about to come on, right?
Yeah.
We've all been there.
I just think it's so powerful because for so many of us that have had similar experiences, I do find there is a before and after where you really didn't recognize all the ways your body was trying to tell you. And then when you really dive into doing the work we're going to talk about today, you really beef up that competency. And
Absolutely.
It does, I wouldn't say effortless, it does become kind of part of your nature to recognize what your voice is telling you and honoring it before things land you in the hospital.
Absolutely. And that's where, to me, one of the first places where people who don't think that they're leaders, right? Oftentimes people think that's only attached with titles. But are you a mom? Are you a spouse? Yeah. Leadership comes in so many different ways, shapes, and forms. So oftentimes we don't even think about that it is something that we continuously do. People think that, you know how to rest, so you automatically do it, but it's always a cycle. And that's what we talk about for sure.
Oh, very true. And I think also a commonality I've seen across people I've worked with is the things that land you in the hospital are when you're ignoring those big things. It's that inner nudge pushing you to make a big decision in life. Leave a job that's not good for you. Leave an unhealthy marriage. Mm-hmm. Change to make a big move. And in your situation, and the fact that your career and your livelihood was where that shift needed to take place.
Absolutely.
What was that transition like? What did that look like and feel like?
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked me this because I literally think about it constantly and I laugh about it all the time. So I was sitting at a symposium, a conference, but it was like deeper than a conference. It was like an institute. So it was for women across the country who were high achieving in higher education. They were moving into like C-suite roles. And so it wasn't just that, oh, you think that you want to do this. These are folks that people have written recommendation letters for, like you're actually in search processes to be like the VPs or senior VPs at universities all over the country. So there's maybe about 100 or so of us in this space together, and they have us do an activity, right? The activity was to write a letter to ourselves later that they would send to us. Facilitations where people do that and you do it to yourself if you're a journaler, right? And I was at such a crossroads, right? Here I was, and one of the hardest things that I don't hear people talk about a whole lot is, because sometimes it's hard to say it out loud, right? When you're someone that's good at a lot of stuff, sometimes it's really hard for you to figure out the thing that actually brings you joy and not just that you're good at, right?
Yeah, so, 100%. Oh my gosh, don't you think that part of what brings you joy is probably that people pleaser in us? And delivering on all those things, right?
Absolutely. And instead of figuring out not only like what, to me, your job should be something that brings people joy. It should help them connect to a better part of themselves.
Yeah, very
and
much.
Hopefully you're using your time and talent to make the world a better place. But oftentimes, most of us are just doing jobs that we're good at, patted us on the back
right?
And that's what I was doing. Here I was in a space where people were like, you're phenomenal at what you're doing. We want to continue to move you to the next level. Then I had a conversation with someone who now she's a dear mentor to me. But at that time, we were just having a conversation and she's like, what do you do? And I was telling her, blah, 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 I do this at higher ed. I'm senior director of this, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But what I love to do is to facilitate content around relationship intelligence. So she goes and she's one of the first people to do that. About that. And then I talked, of course, for maybe 5 minutes about it.
Yep.
And then she stopped me and she said, don't you want that every day?
Yeah.
I said, what do you mean? Don't I want that every day? She said, Erin, you're already effervescent, right? You bring a lot of personality and smile to everything. But when you talked about that, I literally felt you shaking the room with your joy and purpose. And so I walked, of course, into that session that I talked about where we were writing down what we were writing. And you might have to put the explicit on this.
Yeah, but I love it. Those are my favorite shows. Yeah, it's like I click that button with pride.
Because in my letter, I wrote, bitch, you better not be doing this next year.
Oh, that
I
love
it. letter was to myself.
That is a challenge, yes.
It was. And I giggled to myself because that's so out of character for me. I'm a Southern girl, incredibly sweet and just, but it was, I needed to tell myself to be, I was serious with me. You better not be doing this because I knew that my purpose work was to help people be more self-aware around relationship intelligence, help people. I didn't know that yet, but really also help people understand that rest is a leadership skill. And so that is the twist and turn that brought me
it's
to
so
now
true.
My six-figure consultant firm and really doing the hard work out there to help teams and leaders really understand, of course, through the playbook, Strategic Rest in Leadership, that it really is a superpower, but also understanding how they can make an impact and use the relationships that they have in order to get the results that they want.
Wow, walk us from there and just a little insight into how you landed on rest as that leadership skill that you really wanted to amplify.
So it was so wild to me, and I really felt alone in my journey. I felt like not a lot of people were talking about, and especially people like me that look like me, that were in spaces like me, weren't talking about what rest should look like.
Yeah.
But Dr. Kelly Dixon and I, she has been a long time, like also mentor towards with me, and we started to talk about how we were both exhausted, right? We were in a Zoom meeting, and I was just like, I'm exhausted. And she was like, me too. And I can't tell anybody because everybody expects me to be everything to everyone, right? And so I said, what are we going to do about it? And she challenged me, what are we going to do about it? I said, you know what? Let's prioritize rest because when I'm resting, I feel like I can be the best version of myself for other people. And so that's where it started. It started from us having monthly meetings of the mind where we talked about the things that, of course, were not causing us to rest. We sometimes cried. We laughed a whole lot.
Oh, yes.
We said the crazy things out loud that other people we couldn't say to. And out of that, our framework was born. The NAP framework came from those meetings together. And so we started to go, we want everyone to experience this. And that's how we wrote the framework.
Wow, that is incredible. I am just like a standing ovation to you because this is all resonating so strongly with me. For me, I personally really have embraced rest fully the last 2 years. And I proudly own that I take a nap every day. My body needs it. Those of us that are out there and on all the time need those moments to refuel ourselves. Otherwise, we're not able to be our best in the world.
Absolutely. And I know you've got some listeners going, girl, I can't.
I know.
And that's exactly why we wrote the book too, because oftentimes we often think sleep is the only way for us to feel rejuvenated, and it's completely not, right?
Yes,
so we talk about all of the different ways in which you can also experience rest. For me, I experience rest when I'm with great friends in good company, right?
Definitely.
I experience rest when I'm learning something new. So there's so many ways for us to experience it.
Yep. I also say just stillness. I feel like you don't have time for a nap. Do you have 5 minutes to just lay flat on the ground Yes. Close your eyes and take some big deep breaths. A game changer just to bring that into your day.
Yes. Even if you're in that office, one of my favorite offices I ever had, and I would always laugh with people because they could walk by and I always felt like I was like on exhibit because it had all of this glass.
Oh, definitely.
So you could see me in there. But our executive assistant would always laugh because sometimes she would come back to my office and I would be laying under the desk, right?
So I get it. I've been there. Yes.
Taking that moment for yourself is incredibly important. Even if it's not that moment where you're laying on the ground, is it that you've decided, I'm only going to do 50-minute meetings. So I have 10 minutes to digest what just happened in the last meeting. So I've got time to actually go to the bathroom.
When you have those back-to-back meetings and you're working on a big work campus and you're always working from behind.
Yes. I tell people sometimes the commute on Zoom is even worse.
It's instant. At least before I used to have that walk that kind of felt like it was mine.
Exactly. And you feel so bad telling the person, I have to get off with you because I need my camera for the next meeting.
Or can we just not do cameras right now? Because I think cameras back to back all day is just too much.
Absolutely.
And it's so one other tip I'll share that I learned this year from my rest practice, take a somatic experience in class.
Oh, wow.
Very this year in my healing modality. And what I've learned is when you're having that kind of antsy feeling as you're working and you're realizing I'm worked up because I've been going all day. Mm-hmm. Just sit still and look around your room slowly and really take in what
it's just
this resetting you to the moment and realizing that you need to just breathe it in and take that moment of rest.
Absolutely. Centering yourself is so important. I always tell myself this is the last time you'll be able to do this, right?
Yes.
So even if it's sitting in traffic, this is the only time that you'll see this specific sunset driving in this
that's
traffic.
That's so true. Oh, that's powerful.
Because it is. It's the only time. Or I tell myself this is the only time. This is the only time you'll experience your dog laying on the couch with you this exact way.
Makes so much to talk about. Tell us a little bit more about the actual framework, if you can.
Absolutely. So for folks, of course, new to the framework, you can check it out in our book, Strategic Rest and Leadership, but it's called the NAP framework, right? So of course, I always giggle with that because it's so cute. It makes sense with rest, right?
Of course, yeah.
But it has a much deeper meaning. The NAP framework is all about nurture, the first step that you're doing in this cycle that is continuous for leaders. In nurture, it's really about a few things. Number one, what's asking for your energy is important to ask yourself. As you nurture, you also figure out that there's different ways for you to be able to do it. Are you feeling rested spiritually, emotionally? There's so many ways that rest happens. Matter of fact, I cannot think of her name right now. I always think of it, but she did a fantastic framework about the actual seven types of rest. So you can Google that. You'll find it. It'll pop up immediately. And I am so sad that I can't think of her name
right now. We'll find it. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So you need to be asking yourself, are you nurturing yourself in all of those ways? That can look like learning. It can look like community. For me, one of the ways that I come back so rested is I do a quarterly retreat with one of my really good friends. Okay. And so that sounds like really businessy, but it's really not. Now, we do discuss business when we're on there. But we have made it a rule that we can't go anywhere further than an hour from where we live, right?
Okay.
So that means you pick a hotel that's within an hour. So there's no large commute or anything like that.
Yep.
Nothing too crazy to travel. Exactly. You can get in your car and do it. And then we always pick a restaurant that we've never been to, right? Of course, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's plenty to choose from when it comes to that, right? So we always choose a restaurant that we're not familiar with. And then that's it. That's the only plan, right? Yeah. Do it a Friday, finish whatever work we have to do. We enjoy the hotel room. We go out to dinner. So we don't even go out to dinner. One time she asked me, and that's what's important to have people in your community that also value rest, because one of the times she asked me, what do you need? What would help you feel rested right now? And I said, you know what? for weeks, I have just wanted some carrots and ranch, right? And she goes, carrots and ranch? And I'm like, that's it. I just want to dip some carrots in some ranch, and that will make me so happy. And so she looked at me, she grabbed her car keys and said, you know what? Let's cancel our reservations and carrots.
That's a good friend. Love that.
That's what we did. In our cute little outfits, we ran around.
Oh,
Texas, H-E-B is one of the grocery stores that everyone loves here. And that's what we did. We talked, we laughed about our dreams, our hopes for our businesses in the store as I like ate carrots and ranch. And
are you
finding communities of people that will call you out on it when you need it?
Yeah, so great. I find that your carrot and ranch story just makes me think of how often that little nudge inside of you is telling you something at once. And it doesn't go away. How do you say it once?
Absolutely, right? But see, that takes us perfectly into the next step of the framework, right? Oftentimes we have these needs, we have these urges, we know that we're not fully nurturing ourselves, right?
Yeah.
But we don't stop to ask ourselves questions around what do we need right now? What could make this better? What should we say no to? That's another thing
that a lot of leaders don't
know how to say no, or even the types of no. I wish in school that was one of the things that they taught us. How to say no.
How it's the best now, but it takes so many of us far too long to figure out what a magic word it is.
It's because people are so nervous to burn bridges, right?
Well, of course.
No is just a torch used to shoot into a bridge with the person.
That's absolutely not.
Sometimes it's the staircase for us to be able to maintain and set boundaries that allow us to be kind to other people.
Yes, and having people in your life that honor boundaries and you for the boundaries that you set.
Absolutely. And how sometimes people are unfair. We don't realize that us setting boundaries for other people, it's kindness. To me, it's unfair, right? Like in school, most of the time, at least they would show us the material before they gave us a test on it. And here we are out here in life, not even prepping people for the boundary test. And then we're upset with them and we give them an F when they do not pass the test of our boundaries.
So true.
It's incredibly kindness for us to make sure that we're setting those. So that, of course, takes us to the next step in the framework. And the final step, I don't want to say final because like I said, it's a continuous
cycle.
But that takes us to prioritize. So the P in NAP is for prioritize. Yeah. And that's another big thing that us as leaders, sure, we understand how to do it sometimes when we have to think about projects and maybe getting those KPIs. But when it comes to rest, we've got to learn how to prioritize specific things in order for us to practice strategic rest so that we're our best selves. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that sometimes we forget the difference between just rest and resistance, right? Sometimes you sit in there not doing what you're supposed to do is not necessarily rest. It's not strategic rest, right?
So that's perfectionism.
Exactly. When you're like, oh, I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to watch three more episodes. So we've got to understand how to prioritize it. So we're showing up as the best versions of ourselves. So that's the framework altogether. And in our book, we share a lot of great things about our personal stories, but not just the personal stories. We also provide actionable ways for each of those steps in order for you to be able to experience them and challenge you to be able to do it.
Oh my gosh. So all of this makes so much sense to me. I'm curious, as you were starting, you first launched the book, as you're to identify women that you can work with, how do you change the perception of rest almost as a negative in hustle culture? Now, what was the pushback you've gotten and how do you help address and help people overcome that mindset?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. One of the first pieces that I often have to tell people is, have you ever made a decision when you weren't rested? Most people will go, yeah, of course. So what was the outcome? And they may go, this person quit. whatever the case is. And then I have to remind people that rest is what gives you clarity so that you're able to notice what's happening in the room. And that's where that intersection of emotional intelligence, yes, emotional intelligence, but even deeper than that, relationship intelligence really comes into the work that I do. Of course, using rest as a superpower is incredibly important, but also understanding how to have the courage to respond to things with empathy, and knowing that you're more likely to do that when you're someone that's rested and centered is one of the key pieces to that, right? It doesn't, you being rested doesn't just allow you to show up, but it allows you to show up with, like I said, clarity, with creativity. It also allows you to show up and realize that there are other people who are motivated differently than you in a space that you also have to lead. So when we start to talk about the ways that it is a strategy instead of something that's just meaning you're stepping away, which is good, right? Then people start to more deeply understand why it's important.
Yeah. So as those of who have adopted this, yourself included, shifting from just the hustle mindset, what type of results do you see come from that in the impact that it leads to?
Absolutely. So I, of course, as a facilitator, get the opportunity to facilitate content all over the country for corporations, teams, cities, universities, you name it, right? But one thing is, I have stepped into many rooms where you could cut the tension with a knife, right?
Oh,
our coworkers that are kind of looking at each other, one of these to do with someone else, right?
Yep.
But instead of diving straight into strategy, I start to have conversations with them about relationship intelligence, helping them read and respond to each other's cues and the way that they're motivated, the way they experience conflict, even understanding that conflict, there's only one key thing that actually makes conflict, and it's when something gets personal. That's it. Everything else is opposition until it feels personal. So understanding that helps really usher them in to being able to go, okay, so what's a key piece to be able to be open to this stuff? Them about relationship intelligence, how they're motivated, how they're using their strengths, what overdone strengths look like. Overdone strengths usually come to the surface for us when we're triggered, when we're unrested, when we're frustrated with other people, but sometimes when we're just using the things that we actually do our best or get our best work from, when we're using them too frequently or too often, right? So once that happens, people start to understand that, you know what? It's not that I haven't said it to this person. They're just motivated differently than me. And now I actually have the language to talk to them about that. You then start have space where people feel restored. And that's often what every facilitation that I do leaves with. And that's usually I can't leave without like at least crying one good time, because people will always say, you just literally gave me the key to feel in like restored. I can move forward, like I can do something. And so I like to remind people that you can't really scale results until you repair relationships first. And that often starts in the boardroom with each other. It starts on the floor where the cubicles are. But oftentimes it starts with showing up as the best versions of yourself. And rest is a key piece of that.
What about leaders that might be listening right now and just something that they can do to start simply? Is there a skill that folks can start to get the ball moving and improving their health and alignment for themselves and then maybe their team?
Absolutely. So one of the first pieces that I always remind leaders is that we model the way. Right? Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, but we really do model the way. One of my clients that I had in a session recently, after they did a session with me about rest and, of course, relationship intelligence and how those two things go together, he shared with me afterwards, after that, I was so inspired to just end meetings earlier. Yeah. That's what I did. I didn't tell anybody that I supervised that they had to do this. I just started making all of my meetings that 50 minutes so that I had the 10 minutes, like we joked about before, to go to the bathroom, to go to do whatever, to take notes, to be prepared for my next meeting. And then he said, I didn't say a word to anyone. And then I started to see other people who worked for me were doing the same thing. I started to notice that people in the office seemed happier because they literally were doing that micro piece. Now, of course, some people may say, hey, that's anecdotal, right? But people were coming more prepared to his meetings. People were not as annoyed when they had the meetings because they literally had that time in between to get themselves together. So my big thing is, before you even make that jump, because for some people that could be an incredibly large jump in a policy move. So my first thing that I tell people is micro breaks. The first thing that's incredibly important for you, we all, especially when we work in a corporate space, when we work, of course, with our Outlook calendars in front of us, schedule just a tiny block. It could be 10 minutes, right? Where you just put rest and that's it. No one can put something on your calendar. No one can do anything. Mark it private, but get in a habit of scheduling some rest for yourself. And then you'll go like, oh my goodness. I have a executive coaching client. That was literally one of the first steps that we took together. And the person, of course, did it. The question I had was, did everything burn down? He goes, no, it's still there. And I go, so see, we can do this. And absolutely. And so to see the transformation from that to now being like, I left for days and everything was fine. I feel good to be able to do that is why you need to do it. We don't rest for ourselves. And I think that's also one of the misconceptions that people have when it comes to rest is that rest is selfish. And it's absolutely not. Showing yourself love and nurturing yourself through rest is incredibly important, but we don't just do it for us. We do it for the people in our lives. We do it so that people get the best version of ourselves, not the version of us that doesn't even want to go into our house because the people are screaming and they're there after we're overstimulated all day. It was something my mom told me when I was incredibly little, and it just has always stuck with me. She told me that it is incredibly important to give our best to the people that we love. She said, Erin, you are so kind and gentle and sweet to all the people outside. And sometimes you come here and you're not that nice to us.
It's so true.
Your job as a little person, I can remember I was maybe 7 or 8, and she said to me, you are supposed to give your absolute best version of yourself to the people who know you and love you. You want to give good versions of yourself to everybody else, but the hard work that we all have to do is figure out how to show up as the best version of ourselves for the people who spend the most time with us.
Yes. And I feel like as you start doing that work and you start seeing the results in yourself, you also notice who in your close circle, which of your family members have not gotten enough sleep this week or haven't been eating right. You can just see within them that edginess, their best self, and they're not showing up like that at home. So I so agree that it's something that it's infectious. Once you start doing it, whether it's your family or your team, I believe that it's infectious.
That's what I was going to say. It impacts everybody, right? Especially if you're someone who has the people who have the ability to shift atmospheres. And that was one of the first things that I noticed about myself, especially when it came to workplaces, that if I go, ooh, that's stupid, then other people around me, before they even thought, would go, oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, that's so true.
So you have to also be a good steward of the ability to be able to shift atmospheres. And I choose to use that to shift atmospheres to get people to understand that taking care of themselves is using their time and talents to make the world a better place.
Oh, I love that. Let's take it from the little baby step people can take and go to the Strategic Rest Summit. And I'm so excited to hear more about how that came to be and what that looks like.
Absolutely. So after we wrote our book, Strategic Rest and Leadership, we started to get people who were like, yo, this is absolutely amazing. This has changed my life. I will never forget a lady that walked up to me after we did a session on Strategic Rest and Leadership for a group of executive HR managers that were leading other HR managers in their state. And she walked up to me with the book highlighted and it had all the little things in there. That was the first time I had somebody that just walked up to me like that. She goes, you don't even know. This changed my life. I used to be so burdened with what was going on with other people and I wasn't taking care of myself. And so was literally a playbook to be able to give myself space to be able to do that. We started to see that people wanted to connect with us around that. And that also, remember I told you, one of the key things when you think about nurturing yourself is also having people who value rest as a part of your community. And not everyone has that. There's still lots of people who don't understand how to do it yet, which is why they need to get the book, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We wanted to also create a community of people to really experience rest. And then, of course, at the Strategic Rest Summit, we also make sure that we have a session where people are able to create their rest manifesto, right?
Oh, I love
so
that.
So for the rest of the year, it's got, of course, questions and different things to help you figure out what that looks like, even draw what it looks like, right? In order for you to be able to use it the rest of the year in order to make sure that you're always have everything that you need to understand why you're resting, what your plan for rest was, and what you plan to get from being the rested version of yourself. That's exactly where it came from, really creating community for people around it, but also giving them practical steps in order to do it.
I'm curious, just thinking of you becoming an entrepreneur with a focus on rest. They're just not necessarily words I put together. I'm an entrepreneur now, and I also value rest. And so I think that they can go together. And
sure.
What did your quote unquote balance of your schedule look like just in general? Like, how do you structure your time? Thinking of those early days as you were putting this together, writing a book, but also at the same time, really embracing rest as a philosophy that's so important. Like, to me, that is a lot of kind of opposing sounding things. And what does that look like for you?
Absolutely. That's what people are always like. You have to be so busy. And I tell people all the time, I don't subscribe to busy. I have a lot of things on my plate, but that does not busy make, right? So one of the first important pieces is, like I said, I'm not afraid to say no to things that are not necessarily a priority for me at the moment. I'm really key about using that assess part to go, hey, today, this is what I need to do in order to do this. I also am really honest with myself about the amount of time something will take me to do.
That's hard sometimes.
It takes a lot of practice. As a new entrepreneur, and I just wrote, I have an article that's coming out about, a blog post that's coming out about this soon, because I was writing about it. Oh, look at that. That's a, you get a surprise, right? No, but a spoiler alert. But one of the most interesting pieces when people ask me about entrepreneurship, or especially your first year of entrepreneurship, is all of these micro tasks that come out of the one task that you thought you were going to have to do.
Oh, it's so true. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I remember I was so excited. I had just gotten this big client and they had said yes. And all I thought I had to do was sign the contract. So I sit down on my computer. I'm ready to click yes and celebrate, pop some champagne with my husband. And then I open it up and start reading the contract and it's, you've got to have this much insurance. And I'm like, dude is come and stand and talk to you. What? And insurance. So that, of course, sent me down an insurance spiral. And then I had to do a financial spiral to ensure that I could really afford the insurance and all of these different pieces. So it becomes incredibly important for you to be realistic with yourself about how much time something will take and leave in space. And I feel like we had to learn that. I don't feel like everybody did, but I know a lot of us had to learn that skill, especially as we experienced the height of COVID in 2020, where many of us were literally working in our living rooms. And so you were just like, one more report, one more thing, more email, so one more this. And you would find yourself working all the way into the night. So for me, I have really hard boundaries around when that is. Fortunately, I have a cute little pit bull, Harley Quinn, that comes to knock at my door about every day at 5 going, okay, I need to play.
Yeah, it's at 5 o'clock. She starts at 3:30 actually, like reminding me that I don't forget at 5 she's going to eat.
She's just letting you know, don't go anywhere.
Because an hour and a half from now, I'll see you.
I love that. That is absolutely hilarious. Dogs are so funny in that way. Cool. I have clear boundaries about when I'm going to work. Now, don't get me wrong, because other people go, oh, yeah, sure. So you never work when you don't have to. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. There are moments where sometimes you have to burn the midnight oil. But I'm also really careful about what it looks like aftercare. of what it looks like of having to do a long shift. There are times where I have clients back to back and maybe I'm traveling a lot. I'm in Boston, but I did a keynote before I did that and did whatever the case is. Then I literally in my calendar schedule what rest will look like and create a plan for how I'm going to nurture myself. And so it's incredibly important to really be mindful of those things, because when we're rested, we show up as the best versions of ourselves, which are our creative selves. We're clear, and then we're able to be who we need to be for the people around us.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, yes.
Just some questions. It's nothing to think too heavily about.
Okay.
You know, just some ones to just whatever comes to your gut. What's your favorite way to celebrate a big win?
My favorite way to celebrate a big win is an icy. I'm not going to lie. An icy is my favorite way to celebrate.
Yeah. Do you have a go-to?
I have a top three flavor list. You're not a real icy drinker if you don't have a top flavor list, okay?
Yeah.
So my top flavor is 100% pina colada and Dr. Pepper mixed together.
Oh, my gosh. I need to get ICs where you're getting ICs.
Yes, absolutely. So there's a place in, there's been lots of places, but of course we have a gas station. I'm scared to call it a gas station because it's ginormous, but have you ever been to a Buc-ee's, Meg?
I haven't been yet. Or first
one. You have
one.
To call us. You might need to do an entire show just on your reaction to Buc-ee's.
And so I'm going to have to give you my new favorites because mine are going to be boring.
Please.
I don't know. Challenge
That's
accepted.
My top flavor. Let me know once you go because you'll have the option to have a bunch more flavors.
That's awesome. So we've talked a lot about different rest rituals and what you like to do to recharge. But when you actually maybe have gotten a little stressed, you know, is there a go-to quick ritual that's your instant way to reset yourself?
Absolutely. So my quick ritual is really very much turning the light out in my office and just sitting, right? Yeah. I listen to whatever noises are around. Sometimes I even turn on the fan and just kind of look at it. But to me, just like having a quick reset allows for me to go, okay, I'm back. I'm ready to my computer or to think about whatever it is. Sometimes it's just throwing the chew toy with Harley Quinn, right? And that allows me to go, okay, let's do it.
When you're with our fur babies, you can't really be in a bad mood. And they bring you right
up,
don't they?
They love you so much.
Yes,
it's so wild.
Do.
But they love you no matter what. That
it's
resets
pure.
You.
It does. That's a good one. Who could lead a team? Maybe go to a conference somewhere, anywhere in the world and spend some extra time there. Where would you want to spend that time?
Oh my goodness. Where would I want to spend that time? So a place to me that is like incredibly special is Mexico. And I know that's a big place, but I say that because we've been to so many different places in Mexico. Riviera Maya, we've of course been to Cancun, we've been to Cabo, all of those places. But Mexico is just so special to me because my husband proposed me on a beach in Playa del Carmen. And so for us, every year for our anniversary, we always make sure to, we call it the pilgrimage. We go back to that reset space. So for me, oh my goodness, anybody, if you are looking for a great keynote speaker, if you're looking for someone to do some phenomenal training for your team and you're in Mexico, holla at your girl.
We know. All right. We will keep that in mind. And I'm a co-facilitator, so you can bring me with you and we could get some tequila ices.
Yes, I love it.
Oh, man. So last one of these is where I lost track. I was already in the Mexico beach.
You were in
with
that tequila
icy. I lost track of that. So, the last one was just when you hear the phrase becoming is messy, what does that phrase spark for you?
Absolutely. So becoming is messy for me is exactly what my life looked like. It's rich. To this step. And every day, oftentimes people see a polished version of myself because that's, of course, how it has to be. But so many things that I do feel messy. Like I said, even as a newer entrepreneur, right? Even though I've owned my consulting firm for close to 5 years, and this is like my first year of full-time entrepreneurship, for me, understanding that I can do anything that I want to do scared is the messy part, right?
Yes,
I truly believe that you can be incredibly bold and that bold is messy because you just decide to deal with whatever comes along your way. And that can sometimes leave you drenched in sweat, drenched in dirt, whatever it is. I have been incredibly intentional about understanding that I'm in a space of my life that I want to be intentional about movement, about action, about creating spaces for myself and for other people to be able to learn about themselves, for them to be able to not just learn, but also nurture themselves, especially through the NAP framework. But ultimately, that every work and every piece that I do, no matter how messy it gets, will get people one step further to a phrase that I always say, which is using their time and talents to make the world a better place.
That's beautiful. We're going to, you know, first, I just wanted to thank you so much for being here. You have been an inspiration to me as a fairly new entrepreneur. I really value the work that you've done. And I so believe in so many of the same philosophies. And I have to admit, for me, it's been a little bit of a messy few weeks, just about 8 months in. And it's just when you're carving something out brand new in your own framework and the things that you hold so true. It is scary, no matter how much your gut tells you it's the right path. And so your words really have meant so much to me.
Oh, Megan.
Thank you. So before I get to the last question, if you could just let our listeners know how they can connect with you and your work.
So I would love to connect with everyone. Of course, LinkedIn is always the perfect place to be able to do that. I'm Dr. Erin Wilson on LinkedIn. Another great place, especially if you're looking for engaging facilitations around relationship intelligence and, of course, around the strategic rest NAP framework that we do in our book, Leadership, Strategic Rest in Leadership, you can go to my website, which is designidealconsulting.com, which is the name of my consulting firm. And if you loved this and was like, I need more of this girl's energy and I need to know where to get it, then I actually have a live show that I do every Sunday at 10 a.m. on YouTube called Power Nap Live. And I would love for people to join me because I really wanted to create a place where leadership development felt less like a seminar and more like a conversation over coffee. So it's fast, it's fun, it's a little unexpected because we laugh a lot over there because it's live.
Oh, how fun.
But I'd love for you to join me and subscribe to Power Nap Live on YouTube.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure. And to our messy listeners, keep tuning in, keep showing up, and remember, your mess is your magic. Until next time, stay messy.
Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me, and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this: messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.